Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
Garrett Payton.
The reason my respect level for him is through the roof now. I always loved him. He's my dad. But to know how hard he worked and what he sacrificed, because as a kid, I was mad at him because he wasn't around enough in the summer times. And I'm like, why isn't dad around? Now, being older, understanding that he had to sacrifice certain things that he loved. That was maybe spending time with the family because he was working. But he put himself through working himself out to the brink of death on that hill in Arlington Heights. So when he got into the season, there was nothing that he hadn't seen before. Like, if they were going to give him the ball 40 times, he was ready for it, because what he did leading up to the season was unbelievable. Now I look back and I go, man, he was special. He's the greatest football player that I've ever seen. Like, not just there. I had never seen anybody that could do as much as he could do and what he was asked to do.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on The Score.
Bernstein and McKnight broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, home of the Tucson and Santa Fe Sport, which today means Smoke Daddy, right across from Gallagher Way here on Clark Street in Wrigleyville. Oh, man.
It's a good start.
The food is so good. Yes. You know, two words, good start.
You know, usually, first phone call of the day comes in. If it's a winner, we say we got the leadoff man on. Leadoff man got on today. We didn't need a call.
Yeah, you go, we go. And that is, like, There are certain simple pleasures in life, and one is a properly cooked scrambled egg, which in and of itself is special. But when it's placed atop the smoked beef brisket, spicy hash.
And when there's about 40 eggs instead of just the one, it's better than just the one.
Entire
just say.
Farm's worth, not a Kyle Farnsworth.
Quantity has a quality all its own.
Of perfectly cooked eggs. It's just outstanding stuff, and there's plenty more to come. And you should join us here at Smoke Daddy for your own barbecue storm before the Cubs game, if they can get it in without actual storms. And I think they should get into about the seventh.
Looks like there's a window.
As they say.
Always. Every day at the ballpark. Oh, there's a window.
Len Casper is going to join us here live around 10, midday, midway at 10:40, Jonah Carey at 11, and a chance to win $1,000 cash just because you're listening. 312-644-6767. That's the number at WSCR The Score. You email us at Bernstein and McKnight at 670thescore.com. You go there to listen to us live. We stream at 670thescore.com. You want to text, you can do that, 67011. Headed into a three-day weekend, I would imagine we get some wayward, overexcited sexting.
Fire
as well. That's absolutely cool.
Today's your day.
You send something, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter is at Bernstein underscore MCK. He's at C1 McKnight. I am at Dan underscore Bernstein. Download the radio.com app.
Lucas Giolito is for real.
Dude.
That's fun.
Dude, that is.
We're going to get into the White Sox a little bit later on in the show, because what Lucas did matter, and what that team did against the Astros was a whole lot of fun. But two shutouts in a row, one of them's five innings, but that's nice.
But he's
stuff.
Staying on top of it. Everything's coming downhill. Everything's heavy coming out of his hand. That is nasty. You download the radio.com app to stream The Score on your mobile devices. You interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. We don't have the video cameras today, but Brian Gertz usually directs the video feed for us at Facebook Live and watch 670thescore.com. Our engineer is Rich Wyatt. Jay Zawoski is our producer. Rick Camp and the executioner Ray Diaz back at the Score Studios. Do you know what John Lester's talking about when he says that he doesn't feel right on the mound?
I'm not exactly sure what he's talking about, but it does scare me some. Remember, though, we've decided as a show, right? We talked, we had the meeting,
you and
Mitch and Jay and Rick and me. We all sat down and figured, okay, John Lester has earned a certain amount of trust here, because he's been able to outpitch his peripherals for three straight seasons, because he's been able to pitch that well despite drops in velocity and despite really some stuff that's gone away just a little bit. Granted, that cutter backdoor to right-handers to start the season was dynamic. It's why he had a .46 ERA in his first four Wrigley Field starts. I mean, it's been impressive for him. The question, though, that I have about John Lester, and it's always going to last, because as Pecota looked at it, as outside projections looked at it, as dudes with just feel looked at this team, lack of velocity was a question mark. especially from the starting rotation. So while John Lester I trust to figure it out, the question I have for him is, how long will it take now to go through the regular figuring out of things with the velocity where it's at, you know, being 35?
It's a larger issue for the entire staff. They lack velocity. And this has been an ongoing theme. It is a global baseball theme, what velocity is doing to change the game. Other teams have more of it than the Cubs have, and it means they have to do other things. They don't have the margin for error because they just don't throw that hard.
They're going to have to search for some velocity. I mean, if there's one thing you knew about this team going into the season, if you were wondering about where performances would be, you knew that they were going to add bullpen help if they were involved, right? If they were involved in the division, so if things didn't start out the same way it did against the Texas Rangers in the first week, you know they're going to be searching for arms. And indeed, that's going to be their next search. Adding velocity, adding strikeouts, getting Pedro Strop back is great. Sounds like he's going to make a start, or not a start, but an throw appearance on Saturday, and then maybe a rehab start somewhere in the minors before he's back sometime next week.
Yeah, I've been told that the Cubs are hard at work analytically monitoring both leagues. They're all over baseball. They're trying to find relief pitching value for teams that might soon be making that decision. The Giants being obviously the most well-known case of a team that is larded with assets, and they've got a general manager that is progressive and aggressive and may want to work out ahead in front of others. But the Cubs right now are actively trying to identify potential arms.
I take a long look at the Rangers. There's a number of arms in there that have been interesting and might be low cost. I don't know that, you know, I don't think that Madison Bumgarner is a guy. I mean, I don't think they're looking for starters. If you can get Maranta out of the Giants organization, that'd be fantastic, but I don't know that he comes with the cost. You are going to have to. It's interesting you mentioned the analytics are hard at work. You're going to have to find the guy to outperform his peripherals. You're going to have to find the guy that's ready for a fix, like you did with Hamels, like you did with Chavez. Well, that's going to have to be the guy you find, because that's the price point you're probably dealing with.
Well, that's when you're hopeful that you're smarter than everybody else and your smart guys are smarter than everybody else's smart guys, when they can find that value and say, like the call that was made to Kyle Ryan.
Yeah.
You know, we got you. There's something we see, but you don't have time to work on stuff. You don't have time to go into the lab with somebody at this point. You need somebody who's coming in chunking for you.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the question, I mean, if you could really sit him down and administer some truth serum to Theo and Jed and get him to talk about future moves, which obviously they wouldn't do. Why would you? It cut the competitive advantage. But it would be, do the injuries to Brandon Morrow, does the setback for, or not the setback, but the next injury to Pedro Strop, does that affect the type of guy you're willing to go get? Because like you say, the wait to get things fixed. Like, if you get a guy that you think needs a change here or there, as it happens, Cole Hamels had begun to fix his issues in the start prior to getting dealt to the Cubs. And as it happens, Jesse Chavez was a guy that was, you know, ready to be moved anyway and pitching fairly well. They ironed out some things with him, and he figured some stuff out as well on his own. Can you do that? Can you afford that timetable, that 2 to 3 weeks for whether it's Mike Borzello or Tommy Hotovy or just, you know, conversations with guys on the staff already, for a guy to get things turned around, to manipulate and kind of capitalize on outperforming peripherals? Or do you need somebody that needs to go now? Do you have to pay a higher price point because of Brandon Morrow's injury, because of Pedro Strop not being available as long as you have?
I think you do.
I think you might have to.
A simple answer. The segment brought to you by Arlington International Racecourse. They're racing Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Memorial Day Monday at beautiful Arlington International Racecourse. Friday is College Day. Saturday features food trucks and live music, and Sunday is designed with families in mind. Close out the long weekend on Monday with holiday racing and entertainment. Visit arlingtonpark.com for details and VIP experiences. After an update, I want to let you know there's also something else the Cubs are pursuing beyond just relief help, because of some extenuating circumstances with which they're dealing right now. Cubs might be looking for an outfield bat as well. And
really?
Yeah, apparently, I got to be sort of careful how I do this. It has always been on the range of possibilities once Ben Zobrist took his leave of absence, and not the pre-spring training one, once he went away from the team midseason. It has always been one of the possibilities that he does not return. as I understand it, that is as possible or more possible than it's ever been.
Hmm.
Nothing's decided. Every day is different. The situation is fluid. But apparently in this divorce, there are multiple issues involved with property, with custody, with money, and it is extremely complicated and not getting any less complicated. And not to mention, with every day that goes by, with every passing day that he doesn't play, it changes the dynamic of a return for a 37-year-old. 38. What it would take to get back up to speed, and even watching the lack of pop that he had before he left in the first place. So keep it just keep the possibility open that they're going to have to replace him.
Yeah. So what did you see out of Ben Zobrist while he was playing? Because I saw some fairly professional at bats. I saw counts worked. But to be quite honest, I saw the bat knocked out of his hands more often than not when he was hitting the ball.
There were some classic Zobrist fielding moments something's weird with the feet, and then he gets to the ball and makes a terrific play.
Always been bit. Like even when he was 29 and playing shortstop for the Rays at times. Was he 29 when he was playing shortstop? Maybe 2 years younger than that. But he's always been a little bit awkward as an athlete, but he gets the job done. He's not Hunter Pence. He's not an unfolding lawn chair that's just awkward to watch and eventually gets there. But he's kind of that guy. Still, though, I think when you look for, contributions, when you're looking for production, he was okay. But he's Ben Zobrist. And you always had to manage him, as Joe has talked about. You had to manage him to make sure that you had the best of Ben Zobrist available to you when you were going to slide him into the lineup.
So the texters are weighing in here with some very interesting thoughts. The 815 says, go after Jesse Chavez again.
Huh.
It doesn't solve your closer issue, but he's getting paid a nice chunk of money. Prospect-wise, it wouldn't cost much to acquire. And here's an outside-the-box thought. He says the Cubs could find a third baseman like Rendon and move Bryant to the outfield, or find a defensive catcher and move Wilson Contreras to the outfield.
See, I think that's the next step, because you can't box yourself into one position if you're the Cubs, or at least you don't have to. You've created a roster filled with versatility defensively. If you're going to throw Bryant out in the outfield as often as you have this year, if you'd like to get Wilson Contreras out to the outfield too, that'd be fantastic. I'd be all about that.
It's funny that Wilson was having one of his bad games a couple of days ago, whenever it was.
The Quintana start,
I was texting with somebody who is connected to the Cubs.
Okay.
Who had exactly that thought and just said, and it was simply the effect of, think about this. In general, would the Cubs be better off with Wilson Contreras' bat in the lineup and him in left field and a really strong defensive catcher every single night?
Yeah, I think they probably would.
I think so, too. It doesn't mean they're going to do it, but I definitely think so.
Well, it would absolve, too, the question of how much does Wilson Contreras have in him to catch. I mean, that position takes... what? It takes miles off him. It's just what it does. It takes tread off the tires. It can tax guys. And while he's been absolutely committed, it seems, this offseason to making sure he lasts and putting in the work, unlike he did last year, of his own admission, I still wouldn't. I mean, I'm of the opinion that, and I said this a couple of years ago, if I had a hot-hitting catching prospect, as soon as that guy got to, I don't know, double A or something like that, his age 22 season in the minors, and still showed me that he could hit, I would move him off catcher just as quickly as possible, because I fear the damage and the toll that takes on him. Brian McCann, for 2 years, just one of the best, one of the elite offensive catchers the last 10, 12 years, lost all of his power for two consecutive seasons because his knees were wrecked. I don't need that. I can't have an offense I don't want to have, if I can choose it, an offense that depends on that kind of production from the catcher. And Wilson Contreras has been a top 10 bat.
That's Connor McKnight. I'm Dan Bernstein. This is Bernstein and McKnight. We are broadcasting live from Smoke Daddy, just across from Gallagher Way. It looks like the skies are lightening a bit, as there was lightning in the air before. There was some loud noises overnight, I noticed.
Yeah.
Some rough stuff came through. And there, what's the thumbs up for, Jay?
I said congratulations.
Oh, yeah. Thanks.
Some rough stuff. Well, it was that kind of night.
Yeah, it would have been funnier if he could actually, you know, have said it when he wanted to have said it.
Yeah, timing is a factor in humor.
But the game should be played, and you should come out and hang with us and get your long weekend started early with some wonderful food here at Smoke Daddy. They smoke all their meats in-house over hard fruit woods. They've got their homemade barbecue sauces, original mustard cue, sweet and smoky. Man, and they get out for the festivals, too. They got a Smoke Daddy food truck that is traveling around, so Smoke Daddy might just find you if you can't necessarily find it. When we come back, you want to talk about Lucas Giolito?
I really do.
I think we need to, because something potentially pretty special could be happening with a guy who decided he was going to bust his ass to get better at pitching, and I'll be damned, he did.
He's made you look at the White Sox, that's for sure. It's Bernstein McKnight, 670, The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
2-2 from Giolito. Ah, swing and a miss, strike three. Lucas has strikeout number 9, and he's one out away from a complete game shutout.
Just the rhythm, the tempo. For me, a big thing was, if you look back to last game, in the fifth inning, I really picked up the tempo because it started raining. And I was like, why not just try and do that every time? So just getting into attack mode early, filling up the zone. And then luckily I had my good stuff and we were able to make sequences really well. And I was throwing off-speed pitches for strikes, which always helps me out, all three. So, yeah, I mean, between that and Mac back there, just an animal as always, it was a good one.
Lucas Giolito. Good talker, too. He's in that group of guys who is not only good at his job right now, but good at talking about the way he does his job, and I always like guys like that. If you look at some of the numbers here about what he's doing, he is throwing his fastball less. He is throwing his changeup more. He's throwing his curveball significantly less and the slider about the same. Not only that, his fastball is averaging this year 93.7 miles per hour. That is the fastest. That is the hardest he has ever thrown. And again, a velocity dip after the White Sox had traded for him was something that was noted by scouts as one of the reasons the Nationals might have thought that the value was less than what they thought it might have been. That velocity has returned significantly. So not only is he throwing his fastball a mile per hour faster than his career rate, he's actually throwing his changeup significantly slower than he used to with the same arm action. So if that's a grip issue, if that is something that he just completely fixed, his slider is faster. His curveball is faster. His changeup is slower than career averages. So whatever he's doing, he's found some kind of secret sauce here.
Sat 95 against the Astros, touched 97 last night. I don't know if that's where he's going to operate on with regularity.
I don't expect that.
But it was nice to see, especially against that lineup. You know, have you noticed after each and every Lucas Giolito start, the good ones, that he's talking almost right away about James McCann? I mean, almost right away.
Did you call him an animal?
Yeah, I think he called him an animal. Nails back there, something like that. But McCann and he have worked through some interesting stuff. I've told you a ton that one of my favorite things to watch a pitcher do is get out there, realize that something's not working, and either fix it or adjust. You know, maybe Lucas goes out there and you know that real nice start he had where he was just fastball change. He realized pretty quickly curveball wasn't there, slider wasn't really working all that well. So he and McCann went curveball change. I think it was against the Tigers over and over and over again. They worked him. They absolutely worked him with velocity and with location. The start prior, I think it was the 5-inning one with a whole bunch of rain, slider fastball. Not a whole lot of changeups there, if memory serves. And then last night, he's got everything working. He's got the fastball, he's got the slider, he's got the changeup working, and he's kind of dangerous. And if, you know, as much as I and everybody else kind of decried that James McCann signing, you know, looking for a catcher and trying to find, there were other options, and if you wanted to press into it, you could have maybe gone after Yasmani Grandal or added something in that made losing out on Manny Machado a little bit more palatable, I guess. I don't know if you're ever going to reach that, especially not with Yasmani Grandal, but maybe a little bit more palatable. If you've got James McCann, let's not even talk about the offensive improvements that he's made, not yet. If that's a guy who helped in any way get Lucas Giolito to maybe look like a 2 in a rotation again, 100% worth it. I mean, what is this? we've spent this entire rebuild, the last two, three seasons, watching elite prospects get hurt, rip the Achilles off their heel, you know, slide into second base and pop their wrist loose, not all this stuff. If you're back to Lucas Giolito, maybe looking like a two in a good rotation, then it really does start to fix and make it look a lot like it had looked when you made those trades to begin with. It's incredible, really.
He's Connor McKnight. I'm Dan Bernstein. Bernstein and McKnight, 9 to noon on Sports Radio 670. The Score today at Gallagher Way at Smoke Daddy. I see Gallagher Way out there, but we're not sitting outside as we usually are. We are inside the fabulous place that is Smoke Daddy. They've got live music 7 days a week. They got 30 televisions. You can watch the Cubs game live here. And kids eat free here at the Wrigleyville location from 11:30 a.m. to 6 p.m.
You should have brought Adam Harris. We could have gotten him a free meal.
I have actual kids, although they don't count as kids anymore. They've sort of aged out of that.
What age do you lose the kids eat free on the menu?
Probably 12.
Is that different for every place you go? I know.
Can Adam Harris still pass for 12?
Probably, yeah. He's got dyed hair. He looks as small as ever. Absolutely. You put a baggy shirt on him, something like that, he'd probably go for 12.
Yeah.
What was Terry's? No, it was your nickname for him, right? When you and Terry were working together, it was Cupcake.
Cupcake the Tiniest Dancer.
That's right. That fits.
Yeah, I forgot how we got to that, though. I don't know. I think it was a story we did about a stripper.
I think you looked at him.
No, I swear to God, I think it was like a second half story that we did about a stripper that got in trouble or killed somebody or beat somebody up or something.
That's a wide range of things that this.
You know, you fellow kids.
and somehow we ended up deciding, I think Adam Harris was in that day, we decided that he was going to inherit the mantle of Cupcake, the Tiniest
Dancer. That makes sense.
And indeed it did. But Cubs lose yesterday, White Sox win. As we mentioned, Lucas Giolito, absolutely brilliant. And a very strange basketball game occurred last night as well, where it looked like a game that midway through the third quarter, I'm thinking, all right, well,
sure,
the Bucks will hang around. They'll pull away at the end. They got the energy of the home crowd. And then things just didn't go their way. And now we're in a situation where we could have the Raptors in the NBA Finals.
Do me a favor. Maybe this is for you. This is for Rick. Because you guys are the basketball guys on this show. You spent your time covering the CBA. When you're trailing late in a decisive Game 5, a very important Game 5, and your all-everything Giannis goes down with an ankle injury, You play through it? You don't let him sit that many rotations? Is his leg off?
I don't know. You trust the player.
You definitely trust the player. I get that. But it's really it's more difficult to do when it's obvious that Kawhi Leonard's out there on one leg.
Well, how about taking a timeout to get him back out there instead of being out for three or four possessions, that's an option.
You could do that too.
I also think that when Giannis was in there, they did a nice job of continuing to force him to take all of these pressured shots when there were open shooters out and around. The discipline of the Toronto defense to multiply help and recover forces them to not only make quick passes, but accurate passes. And a couple things I noticed last night, there were times where they would have had a reasonable look at a three if a pass were either delivered quicker or more accurately. And that is a sign of a really high-end defense when their rotations force you to be that crisp to find those shots. And after a while, it looked like Giannis just lost the faith that the ball was going to find somebody with enough room to shoot with feet set.
He didn't get any help from the bench. He got 15 points, the Bucks did, off the bench. Nico, Ersan Ilyasova, your guy. I mean, 0 for everything from three, didn't hit a single bucket. And you were right, they cut Nico's minutes down. Nico played 9 minutes. I mean, that was the kind of defense you saw in the game prior, game four, that it looked like his worst Chicago Bulls-type defense. It was not there.
Thanks to a 708 texter, says, Cupcake was mentioned in a promo for a strip club that was read by Steve McMichael. That apparently there was an actual Cupcake the Tiniest Dancer that was promoted by an advertiser. Okay, I vaguely remember that.
Adam was working part-time at the Score. I wouldn't be surprised if he had a side hustle.
No. Was that the one?
It's a gig economy, Dan.
It was the same Steve McMichael commercial that had champagne room, right?
Just the rotating cast of dancers coming through.
No,
in
it
the
was
champagne
whatever
room.
That client was, whatever that read was.
I think
was,
you're right.
It was Michael's champagne room, and then he also said, "And this week featuring Cupcake, the tiniest dancer."
Like, oh, it was yeah, actually we, just we score part time producer night, so you would have him going out there, and then it's like Mark Jolliffe or something like that.
And now, Cheddar Bob.
Drinks are free during this half hour. We are so sorry.
Don't go in the champagne room. Whatever you,
don't
you
wanna,
do,
you don't wanna be in
that. Stay away.
Champagne's great, but you don't want to. You don't want
to
do that.
Stay away.
Next to the stage, Dave White,
the big tomato face man.
You think you've seen red?
So did Ethan go pre and post, or was it just early Ethan?
Oh, you could do both Ethans. First he's big, and then he shrinks.
Come back in half an hour. It's a whole different routine.
Oh God!
Did you, speaking of the NBA playoffs, did you see and or hear Klay Thompson in his conversation about not making an All NBA team? He got asked about it. We pulled the sound. I think we fire this off before we get to 10 o'clock and have to bring in Lancaster.
No, we can't.
This is an honest question with an honest answer, and he makes it through with as much, I would say, dignity as you can when talking about the fact that you just got robbed of $30 million.
You really made the All-NBA team, which would have elevated your potential.
Oh, I did it? They already came out?
Yeah, it came out today. You were like right behind Beal. We got, or no, right behind, who got 13? Kyrie. But you barely, yeah, Kemba. Kemba got it. You were a couple.
I mean, that's cool and all, but like, when you go to five straight finals, I respect those guys, but holy, when you go to five straight, I mean, it takes more than just a couple of NBA guys. It's like an all-time team, but whatever. That's not it. I'd rather win a championship and be 13 on NBA, so it's all good.
Do you not like that affects potential contract statuses, you know, all NBA stuff, because that would have elevated you.
Yeah. It is what it is, you know, I can't control it. Do I think there's that many guards better than me in the league? No, but that's the reason why we're still playing, so I don't even want to get into it, honestly.
Oof! Ooh, careful there. Nicely, I totally agree. We need to uncouple all NBA voting with anything hard contractual. We have to. It's bad and wrong
too
and
subjective.
Too subjective and too many people involved with other people's livelihoods. I understand why they did it. It was Chris Paul who put that in the negotiations. Derrick Rose was the first to have it invoked.
Right.
But get rid of it. There's something about it just smells wrong to me.
Out at Smoke Daddy, across the way from Wrigley Field for the Bernstein and McKnight Show this morning. Len Casper is going to stop by. Looking forward to hearing from Chicago Cubs as well. It's Bernstein and McKnight, 670 The Score.